Do you know anybody that it seems everything they touch just fails? Everything they touch just falls apart. I mean, you've heard of Midas touch, right? But these are the opposite. These are the kind of people that you don't want them around, right? I mean, if anybody remember group projects? I didn't remember having group projects as much as my children have had group projects in high school and college, but it's like one of their least favorite things has been group projects for whatever reason. Teachers, take note. I don't know why, but it's like my daughter's least favorite things was group projects. And one of the reasons was because there's often somebody in the group that everything they touch fails. Great, they're in my group. That's wonderful. I'm glad they're in my group. So, you know those kind of people. I'm one of those kind of people. You don't want me working on your car, okay? I'm just telling you. If you've got car troubles, take it to anybody else but me. You don't want me touching it, all right? If I bring a dish to a potluck, you better ask, did Tracy make that? All right, if Tracy made it, good to go. If David made it, put it in the back of the kitchen and don't let it out, okay? Because it's not good. So you know those kind of people. Things that they touch kind of fall apart and fail. What do you think about Jesus? You think anything that Jesus touched ever failed? You know it didn't. Think about Matthew chapter 14. Think about Matthew chapter 14 in the text that was read, and think about how those five pieces of bread and those two fish, when they got into the hands of Jesus, just multiplied. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there and just watched it? You know, maybe not to eat. I know most of you wouldn't like to have been there to eat. That's fine. But wouldn't you have liked to have just been there to watch it happen? To see how is that working? How is it that he can take five pieces of bread and two fish, and all of a sudden, every time he opens his hands, there's another piece. It's multiplied in the hands of Jesus. So I want you to get your Bibles to Matthew 14 this morning. We're only going to spend a few minutes in these verses today, but I want us to take away some principles that we need to understand about how we, when we give to the Lord, those things are multiplied in his hands. How we, when we put ourselves into his hands, we are multiplied. And as we think about our responsibility to take what the Lord has given to us and to share it with others, we need to think about being multiplied in the hands of Jesus. Are you in Matthew chapter 14? This is one of those chapters that we read this past week. And what's interesting about this particular miracle, as you think about the 30 plus miracles that we have recorded in the New Testament, there's not many of them that are recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is one of the few that's recorded in all four gospel accounts. So I want us to think about putting ourselves into the hands of Jesus. I want us to think about how we can be multiplied in the hands of Jesus, but there's some things that we must do. There's some things that we must do if we are going to be multiplied in the hands of Jesus. First thing we've got to do is do what Jesus did in verse 14. First thing we've got to do is we've got to do what Jesus did, and we've got to open our eyes and see the multitude. You see what it says in verse 14? When Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. If we want to be useful in the hands of God and to be multiplied in the hands of Jesus, we've got to see the people. In John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus said, "Behold, lift up your eyes and look on the fields." Are we doing that? Are we looking to see the people, the multitudes of people around us who need the Lord? It's not just enough to see them, though, is it? Jesus didn't just see them. Look at what the rest of the verse says. Right after he saw them, the Bible says in verse 14 that he saw them and he was moved with compassion for them. In this reading we had in Matthew chapter 14 this past week, we noted in our study guide that moved with compassion is something that goes down deep. And the word that was used there is even talking about being moved in his very bowels and in the very inner part of who he is. We talk about loving somebody with our whole heart, because that makes a nice Valentine's Day card, right? If you got a Valentine's Day card that says, "I love you from the depths of my bowels," you'd be like, "Yeah, thanks. No thanks. Don't want anything to do with that. But that's the word that's being used here. It's not just that he had compassion in his heart. It was in the depth of his soul that he cared about these people. When he looked at them, Mark's account tells us in Mark chapter 6, the reason, because they were like sheep that didn't have a shepherd. He felt for them. If we're going to be multiplied in the hands of Jesus, we've got to see the people. We've got to have compassion for them, but that's not all that Jesus did. You don't see it here in Matthew chapter 14. You see it over in Mark chapter 6 and verse 34 in that account. You also see it in Luke's account. Specifically, Luke tells us that Jesus, when he saw the multitude, had compassion on them and began to teach them about the kingdom of God. The very thing they needed to hear. Now, was Jesus going to feed them? Yes. Jesus was going to give them physical food. But what they needed more than physical food was spiritual food. What they needed more than physical sustenance was to hear about the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus took time to do. It's what we need to do. If we're going to be multiplied in the hands of Jesus, we need to see the people. We need to have compassion for the people. And then we need to open our mouths and seek opportunities, just as Jesus did, to teach them. In Acts chapter 8, the Bible says those who were scattered went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. You get down into verse 5, and it says they were teaching individuals, preaching about the kingdom, about the name of Christ. We need to do that, to tell other people what we know. If we're going to be multiplied in the hands of Jesus, we must never expect that they are going to feed themselves. Look at what happens here in verse 15. When it was evening, Jesus' disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away." Why? So that they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves. Let Jesus send them away so that they can go take care of themselves. Mark's account tells us that they also said, because they have nothing to eat. What does Jesus say? Jesus says to them in verse 16, "They do not need to go away." What do you mean they don't need to go away? They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We don't ever need to expect people to feed themselves. Now, we've moved from a physical to a spiritual application. Should we expect individuals to just learn the truth on their own? Should we expect individuals just to come to know the Bible on their own without us doing anything? In Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "Those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." But verse 14 says, "How shall they call on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" What's the point? We should never expect somebody else to learn the truth without us helping them to find it. Jesus wasn't saying, "Oh yeah, let these people go and feed themselves." He says, "Let's take care of them right here." If we're going to be multiplied in the hands of Jesus, we've got to do that. If we're going to be multiplied in the hands of Jesus, we must give what we have to the Lord. Look in verse 17. Verse 17, you've got the word "have." They said, "We have here." And we don't have it here in Matthew's account. We've got to go over to Mark's account, where Jesus actually says to the disciples, "How many loaves? How many loaves do you have?" And he tells them, "Go and see." So Jesus says to the disciples, how many loaves do you have? Go and see." And so they go and try to find out how many loaves they have. Except the disciples didn't have any. It's John's account in John chapter 6. You've got to get all, you know this story, but you've got to get all the way over to John chapter 6 to learn that it was a boy who had his lunch, apparently, with 5 pieces of bread and 2 small fish, and they said, "That's what we've got." What did this little boy do with his lunch? You ever been at school and you trading things at lunch? What did this little boy do with his lunch? He gave his lunch to the disciples. He gave it all to Jesus. What they had there, they gave to the Lord. Could it be multiplied in the hands of Jesus if it wasn't first given to Him? We need to give what we have to the Lord. We need to give our time, it's what we have, to the Lord. We need to give our abilities. We need to give what things that we are good at. We need to give that to the Lord. We need to take our resources. We need to take our possessions. We need to take our homes, our cars. We need to take our money and give it to the Lord. Mike so greatly reminded us this morning, it's His already. It belongs to Him already. The story in Mark chapter 12 of that widow who came with her two mites, Jesus says she's given all that she had. She took what she had and she gave it to the Lord. God's not expecting something out of us that we don't have, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12. He's expecting something out of us that we do have. If we're going to be multiplied in His hands, we've got to give back to Him what we have. Look at what Jesus did. Once Jesus had those five pieces of bread and those two fish in His hands, you see what He did in verse 19? He took them and looking up to heaven, He blessed them. He acknowledged that what He had was from God. He gave thanks unto God for the things that had been given unto Him. Do we need to be reminded? On a regular basis, do we need to be reminded? And as Mike said, no doubt one of the reasons that we are to give unto the Lord on the first day of the week is to be reminded that the very things that we have belong unto Him. Everything that we have belongs unto Him. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift, where does it come from? It comes from above. Everything we have comes from God. And so we ought to acknowledge that, and when we give it back to Him and put it back in His hands, to give thanks for that. We can't be multiplied in His hands if we don't do that. If we're going to be multiplied in His hands, then we've got to know that the power is in the hands of Jesus and not in us. Jesus, the Bible says in verse 19, He took the five loaves and the two fish. He took them in His hands. Over in Mark's account is where it uses the word divided. In verse 41 of Mark 6, it says He started dividing it out. Where did that power come? It wasn't in the power of the people. They couldn't do it. Can you imagine one of the disciples trying to stand there with five pieces of bread and two fish and feed 5,000 men plus women and children? How much would they have failed? They would have failed all over. You can't do it. The power is not in man. Power was in the hands of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, good verse to know. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul says we need to be reminded that our sufficiency, think about, are we self-sufficient people? I can take care of myself. I can do that myself. I don't need any help on that. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, we need to be reminded that our sufficiency is not in ourselves. Our sufficiency comes from God. Not just our gifts, not just what we have, who we are, what we have, what we're able to do. It all comes from and is given to us, thanks be unto God. I planted, Paul said, Apollos watered. But where did the increase come from? Oh, that's from God. Because that's where the multiplication takes place. May God help us to realize that He's the one that gives the increase. He's the one that does the multiplying. I need to be reminded that if I'm going to be multiplied in the hands of Jesus, then I need to give to others what the Lord has given to me. What did they do in the end of verse 19? Jesus blessed it. He broke. He gave the loaves to the disciples. And then in verse 19, what does it say? The disciples gave to the multitudes. Jesus gave to them. They turned around and gave it out to the multitudes. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? The Lord has given us His Word, and what do? Keep it to ourselves? No, we turn around and we give it to others. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you have the gospel explained, defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 and 4 is where Paul tells us the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. But verse 3 begins by Paul saying, I delivered to you, first of all, what I received. That's what we're to do. The things that we've received, to turn around and to deliver them to others. I can't be multiplied in the hands of Jesus if I don't take what He's given to me and give it to others. I can't be multiplied in His hands if I don't remember that no effort for the Lord is ever wasted. They start with five loaves and two fish, and then they have leftovers. Have you ever had more leftovers than what you started with? I mean, what you may have cooked may have been really bad, and you may have had as many leftovers as what you started with. But have you ever had more? No way. It doesn't work that way. In the hands of Jesus, this food was multiplied. And so Jesus told them, he told them, take it up. Over in John chapter 6 and verse 12, Jesus told them to gather up the fragments that remained so that nothing is lost. Jesus didn't want to waste any of it. So that nothing is lost. In the hands of Jesus, nothing's wasted. In Isaiah 55 and verse 11, God said, my word will not return unto me void. His word's not wasted. You might say, oh, well, this person didn't obey the gospel. That was a waste of time. Never a waste of time to teach somebody the gospel. Never a waste of time to share the good news of Jesus Christ with somebody else. Finally, I need to remember that if I'm going to be multiplied in the hands of Jesus, then I've got to know. I've got to know that the Lord is going to bless me abundantly as I give to Him. They took up more. In my Bible, and this is just me, in my Bible, I've got something circled in verse 17, and I've got something circled in verse 20. Verse 17, the disciples said, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. The word only. Well, in the hands of Jesus, what are 5 loaves and 2 fish? But here's the disciples' view. Oh, we only have, well, what's the big deal? Do we sometimes look at the world and say there's 8 billion people out there? We are only so many people. We can't reach the world. We are so small. Really? In the hands of Jesus, we're not. In the hands of Jesus, we are only a few, but isn't that enough? Down in verse 20, I've got the word full circled. Here they thought, oh, we are only this. And Jesus says, why don't you take up these baskets that are now full of everything that remains. The Lord blesses us when we do what He commands us to do. Book of Proverbs is full of passages like that, that we lend to the Lord, but we're never poor because the Lord pays us back. You read through the book of Proverbs and you see how God will take care of us. You know 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we sow sparingly, well, we're going to reap sparingly. But if we sow bountifully, we'll reap bountifully. I love this text. As I've thought about and read through Matthew chapter 14 this week and thought about its application to us, to think about how, in the hands of Jesus, how much more can we do? How can our efforts be multiplied? As I've thought about this text in relationship to next Sunday is our Mission Sunday. Next Sunday is one of the highlights of our year. When we get to focus in on taking the gospel to the world. Next Sunday, when every dollar that's given next Sunday will be used for mission work in this coming year, I've thought about Matthew 14 in relationship to our Mission Sunday. That next week we will come individually. And individually next week we will put something into the basket individually. But God is going to take that, what we give individually, and He's going to multiply it collectively because we're all going to give. And whatever I give is going to be multiplied by what everybody else gives. And so the sum will be larger than what I give. But whatever we give collectively, Jesus is going to take and to multiply even further so that the gospel can reach souls who are in need of salvation. We talked last week about the history of our Mission Sunday. We talked last week about 19 years of our Mission Sundays and how the Lord has truly multiplied through us to get the gospel in so many places that who would have ever thought little old Palm Beach Lakes could get? But it wasn't us. That little 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish, they didn't look up and say, hey, look at what we're doing. We're feeding all of these people. It wasn't the bread and the fish that were doing it. It was Jesus that was doing it. It's not Palm Beach Lakes that's anything that's spreading the gospel around the world. It's Jesus through us. It's Him working through us, giving us opportunities, giving us abilities, giving us time, giving us money that we can give to the Lord. And so we talked last week about how the history of Palm Beach Lakes is that on this one day for the last 19 years, On this one day, we have averaged giving over $140,000 on one day. When the rest of the year, our weekly contribution, we've given about $14,000 on per Sunday, and yet we've given on average 10 times as much on one day. We said last week, that's not to pat ourselves on the back. That's to say thanks be to God that He's taken us and He has multiplied through us and with us the gospel of Christ. I want to share with you just briefly the challenges that the elders have for us this year. The challenges that they would lay before us in our Mission Sunday this year. And I hope you will be excited as our elders have been excited in talking about these things. And I'll tell you, there are not as many things on here as the elders would like. The elders have got a whole list of other things they wish could have been on here, but they could not fit. They couldn't fit on here. There's so many great works that we can be involved in. Let me share with you where our elders would like us to go this year in our mission work. We always start when we look at what we call our Mission Sunday pyramid. We always start with that base, with that foundation of it, and recognition that the base, the foundation number, again, is a very large amount. And what that number represents, $92,350, are commitments that we've made to various mission works to say, we are going to help you in these endeavors. We mentioned last week that when we started Mission Sunday, that base was $50,000 when the elder said, we need this much just to do what we've been doing. And yet the base this year is $92,350 to cover those things that we have committed to do this year. What does that include? Well, it includes our missionaries. It includes one of our missionaries, Nana Forgy, over in Nigeria. Nana is an amazing man and continues to do an amazing work. Nigeria is an area of the world where the gospel is just flourishing. They've got schools of preaching. And Nigeria, we think of, you know, another country that we're not familiar with. And here are souls that are just being met and obeying the gospel because of various efforts. And Nana is just one of the missionaries over there. We had Chad Wagner here last year reporting on the trips that he is making to go over there. So Nana's one of our missionaries. Then we've got Tamuka in Zimbabwe. And Tamuka is in regular contact with our elders through email, and I just cannot imagine living in Zimbabwe. If you think inflation is bad here, you ain't seen nothing yet if you go over to Zimbabwe and to see the prices of the things that they are just for basic necessities going on over there, and many of them just not even available. Their political situation is horrendous. But many of the pictures that Tamuka sends, many of them look exactly like this. This room, think about going to worship and that's where you are. And sitting on a concrete floor. Sometimes the pictures he sends, they're sitting on this concrete floor. Other times they're sitting on just a wooden bench, not with a back on it, but just with a bottom on it, sitting on a wooden bench for a few hours. You think you've got trouble sitting on a padded pew in an air-conditioned building? I mean, here are brethren who are determined to worship and to serve God. Tamuka is a hard-working guy. There's a picture of his truck here. Almost every year he's got to put new tires on his truck. That's a testimony to the horrible roads that are over there. It's also a testimony to the horrible tires that they have for sale over there, and yet the guy is working. As David Leip would say, David Leip's been here in our gospel meetings and preaches in Tennessee. As David Leip would say, this guy's working his liver out, serving the Lord in so many different ways. One of our favorite missionaries, I think, here is Robert Martin and the great work that he's doing in the Pacific Islands. We've been supporting him since 1989. He's been involved in that mission work over there for nearly 50 years and just doing an outstanding job over there. Joey Treat is also working out in the Pacific Islands. We've been supporting Joey since 2014. He's worked on a variety of islands in the Pacific. Currently, and most recently, he's been working in Guam with three different congregations that are there. And yet, I think we've mentioned a few times that Joey has not been back to Guam for about a year. He developed some health issues, and so he has his elders told him he needed to remain in the States until he got those health issues taken care of. And it's health issues that he developed because of his work in the Pacific Islands, going to islands like Yap and Chuuk that are not the greatest places on earth for health-wise for him to be, and yet as soon as he's back to 100%, he's planning to get back out into the field. We've been supporting Wayne Parker since 2017 out of the Pacific and the island of Ponape, and it was just a few months ago he was finally able to get back on the island after a COVID shutdown. And so they shut it down in early 2020, and it was maybe just 2 months ago that he was finally able to get back there and to see how the brethren were doing. But the Parkers have some changes that are coming up in their future. They realize, especially because of COVID and the fact that they could not be on the island for 2.5 years, and yet the church continued to thrive, the church continued to move on, even in their absence. They realized this is what we wanted. This is what we've been working for, is to help this church to grow to a point where they don't need us anymore. And so they are going to be going into a new mission field. But before they do that, in August of this year, Wayne Parker will be the missionary in residence at Freed Hardeman University. Freed Hardeman brings in a missionary to stay for a year, teach some classes there. And so Wayne Parker will be teaching classes there, mission classes, as a missionary in residence starting in August of this year. We also support Mauricio Yegros down in Coral Springs. I've been supporting them since 2013. They started a Spanish work there, but they not only have a Spanish worship now, they've got an English worship, even working with a Portuguese group as well. And you see their family picture here. Isn't that a good-looking family? And they're adorable kids. Pray for little Emily. They just found out two months ago, that she's been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And so that has been a change for that family. And so keep them in your prayers. But Mauricio is a great worker, hard worker in the kingdom. We support Tavaro Hanna over in the Bahamas at 8 Mile Rock. And that family picture is of a growing, but I understand a completed family. I don't know if they're done or not, but I understand it's complete. They were just waiting for a boy. And so Tavaro finally got a son, and now he's happy. But Tavaro was here just a few months ago and reported here, and what a great family they are, a great couple. They work together in this work. And this building here is almost done. This is an old picture, but that's almost done, and they're about ready to get into their new building. We've been able to support Robert C. Lupo. That's our Robert Lupo's uncle up in Sneedville, Tennessee, a very impoverished area where he is in Sneedville. But he is doing a great work trying to reach out to that community there. And one of the greatest works we've had the pleasure of being a part of is Apologetics Press. Been involved with them since 1986. The elders have had a very close relationship and working with them since 2004. But the picture there is of most of their staff, although that picture is a couple years old. It does not include Jeremy Pate, who is working on all of their Vacation Bible School materials. But the apologeticspress.org website, that ought to be one of your favorite sites. You ought to have it marked. You ought to go there regularly. Such great material. Their Bible, their study Bible, I know many of you use it. I know many of you are marking in that this year with the study notes that we have, and you're adding that into your study Bible. But they've got so many amazing resources that they continue to put out, and what a blessing it is to be involved with that work. And then a part of our mission work every year is our senior high and adult mission trip. These are pictures from the trip that they took this last year to Parma, Idaho, and where they were able to work with the congregation out there. There is another trip planned for this summer, not to Parma, to a different place. We won't tell you where it is, but if you are interested in going on that, then see Josh. There is an application process is involved in being able to go on those trips. But this is one of the highlights. When we lay out the calendar for the year, we always make sure that we know where the mission trip is going to fit. And it's just one of the highlights, not just of the youth calendar, but of the church calendar. We've been doing these mission trips with our young people since 1996, taking them to a variety of different places. And it's life-changing for them, no doubt, but it's life-changing for the congregations that they go and work with. To see these beautiful, smiling, loving faces coming in and working with them in a variety of different capacities. What a blessing it is to have so many great young people in our church that get to go on these trips and to be a part of helping various congregations. And then a year and a half ago, Robert J. Lupo, if we want to differentiate him from his uncle, began studying at the Southeast Institute of Biblical Studies up in Knoxville. And he will complete his studies in about 4 months, a little over 4 months. He will be finishing up there. And on June 11th of this year, Robert Lupo will begin working full-time with this congregation. And so we are excited about him coming down here and working with our youth and families. And so keep him and Rihanna in your prayers. But his part up at School of Preaching is a part of our Mission Sunday. And then for the last several years, a lot of years, we have been mailing out house to house, heart to heart, especially right around here, right around the church building here, to a variety of mailing routes, and kind of rotates through these mailing routes each month to make sure we kind of saturate the area. About 3,300 homes are hit every month, and we have seen fruit from this, and we're thankful for that. Just getting the gospel into people's homes is what house to house is all about. And then the final thing that's a part of our base, and that is Easter Island. And we had to squeak it in here because there wasn't even hardly room on there to fit it. But Josh is hopeful that he'll get to go back in 2023. It's amazing how much America has opened back up since COVID and how much different parts of the world have not. And that's why Wayne Parker wasn't able to get back into Ponape. It's why Josh hasn't been able to get back into Easter Island. It's not for lack of trying. It's just for lack of the island being opened up for those opportunities. And so hopefully Josh will be able to go back and be with those folks again. But please, please pray for them. Please pray for those four Christians that are down there. Josh meets with them electronically every week, but they need your prayers and your encouragement. But next Sunday, think about this. Next Sunday, we need to give $92,350 just to cover what we've been doing. That's a lot of money. That's a lot for our elders to ask. If you're visiting with us this morning, if you've never heard this before, you might think that's crazy. These people think they're going to give $92,000 in one day. You see, it's not us. It's that we put ourselves into the hands of Jesus, and somehow He just keeps multiplying. You could have been there that day and watched, and I don't even know if you had watched Jesus in His hands, if you would have figured out exactly how is that working. How does He keep coming up with more? And if you look at what's been happening with Mission Sunday over these last few years, you might wonder, how does this keep happening? Where does this keep coming from? And I would suggest to you not to look in a mirror and to not look to your left or to your right to look at who's giving the big checks here, but to look up and to see that it's our Lord who's doing the multiplying, that we just get to be in His hands in the process. But may God help us. This is what we need to give next week just to cover those commitments that we've made. And yet, if you've been a part of this congregation, you know our elders challenge us beyond just the base, beyond just that foundation amount, to say, what more could we do? If we have, as we have for these last several years, if we give more than just to cover the base, what more could we do? And so next Sunday, if we are able to give $107,350, there's some things that we can do. One is that we will be able to continue to help out with special requests that are made when people write to our elders. They write to Palm Beach Lakes, and it slowed down during COVID, but before COVID is starting to pick up again, you know, there would be various people that would go on mission trips, maybe a 1 or 2 week campaign to somewhere in the States or somewhere overseas. And so you've got to raise money when you go on those trips. Those aren't free trips for the most part. And so those people go on those trips, they have to raise funds. And so they send letters to various congregations or various people saying, hey, I'm going on this mission trip. Can you help? And so our elders like to be able to help out those who are going on these trips, but the funds from that come from Mission Sunday, to be able to say, yes, we can help you out on this trip that you're making to this particular place to do the Lord's work. And so these are life-changing events, and many of you have been the beneficiaries being able to go on a number of these trips, and so you know how life-changing they can be. And so that's a part of Mission Sunday. And then 2 years ago, the elders introduced to us and was added to our Mission Sunday Works what was called Palm Beach Lakes World Missions. And this particular entity that's been called World Missions is the result, we mentioned last week, of our elders sitting down and talking and again asking themselves the question, what more can we do? You think about in 2003, before there ever was a Mission Sunday, our elders were talking and saying, what more can we do to reach the lost world? And so that was the reason Mission Sunday became a thing here. They thought we could use this day and use everything we give to use for mission work that day. But it's interesting, even after all these years of Mission Sunday and its great success, the elders still sit down and say, yeah, but what more can we do? And they started talking about this, especially in the couple of years leading up to the fact that the church was getting ready to pay off all of its debt, that all of the loans for the building and for the roof work and everything was finally paid off. And so this last year, all of that was finally, everything has been paid off and the church is completely debt-free. And so the elder said, hey, okay, now that we don't have to pay a loan anymore, what more can we do in reaching the lost? I love their hearts. Not saying, hey, let's take that money and use it for something physical, but take that money and use it for something spiritual in reaching the lost world. And so that was the birth of what's been called Palm Beach Lakes World Missions, where Dan and Josh have been going out to various locations, to various congregations, helping various works in the country and around the world. And this has been the mission statement. Our mission is to labor with existing congregations and new works of the Lord's church in evangelizing, edifying, and equipping the saints for greater service in domestic and foreign fields. And so that's been the mission statement of these efforts. And so we mentioned last week how Dan, last year in 2022, had been to 5 different congregations conducting gospel meetings and leadership workshops, marriage workshops in Tennessee and Michigan and in northern Florida, and how Josh had been to speaking at a couple congregations and then at 2 area-wide church events in Idaho and Utah and Montana and North Carolina. And then this year, there's already plans. Dan has at least 7, but probably will have more places that he will be going this year. 4 of them up in Ohio, in Dayton and Juliet, Lorain, and East Liverpool, Ohio. He'll also be going to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and Dry Ridge, Kentucky. And Dan's going to be conducting a gospel meeting out in Clewiston in the last week of March. And while nothing else may have had any personal impact on you, first week of March, March 26th through 29th, Dan's going to be preaching a gospel meeting out in Clewiston. And the Saturday before that, on the 25th, and the Saturday before that, on the 18th, we are all going to get to go out to Clewiston and door knock in that little community and invite them to come to that gospel meeting on March 26th to the 29th. So mark your calendar. It's already on the church calendar, I believe, March 18th and March 25th, for all of us to go out there and do some door knocking and helping out that congregation. So as you can see, there are calls that are coming in, and Dan and Josh are doing the best that they can to answer those calls and to go and to help these various congregations. And this is Palm Beach Lakes World Missions is going to get a little bit of a facelift this year in what we are doing. And so Josh is going to come and talk to us about that, share some information about it, share some information about what his plans are this year and going forward.
Campaigns, as Dan and I have been doing in different areas, seminars, gospel meetings, bringing in groups from Palm Beach Lakes. It may be a situation we're out working somewhere with the congregation for a month, and we call some of you up and say, hey, do you have some vacation days? You want to come up here and be an encouragement to a congregation? And we'll be making that call to you, but also assisting in any way we can help. When we talk about working with congregations, we are partnering with them. It is in no way us going to them saying we have all the answers. It's going to them saying, let's work together to glorify the Lord in that area. And this will mean that Karen and I will be traveling more extensively, not only domestically, but still traveling to those points in South America when they are open, when it's available to do so. And we ask for you to keep this mission work in your prayers as these changes are made this year. And there'll be some transition as Robert comes in and works with us, and we transition into this role full time. We ask that you keep this in your prayers as well as Mission Sunday.
As That's exciting. I'm excited to think about what little old Palm Beach Lakes is able to do in a variety of places and through these means, and Dan and Josh going in these various places. Who would, you know, it's the words that I have written down about this idea of answer Macedonian calls. That's exciting. That's biblical. That's right out of the text. That's long term, and it's far reaching. Think about what we can be a part of, and thank you. Thank you to our elders. Thank you to Dan and to Josh and being willing to go and to be a part of these various things. And if you know of congregations that could benefit from these, then let Dan and Josh know or have them get in touch with Dan and Josh. But we're excited. We're excited about this. Let me very briefly share with you the rest of this pyramid. What if next week we were able to give $122,350? What would we be able to do? Our elders are committed to assisting the Spanish congregation that is meeting inside of our building. We mentioned this last year, that the Spanish congregation actually came to our elders the year before and asked them, can you please help us? We need some help, not just meeting in the building, but help beyond that. One of the things that's happened this year, as you've noticed, is they're no longer meeting in Adult 2, but now they're able to worship in the family room, which gives them more space, gives them really their own space for most of the year. But the elders want to do more. And so initially they were looking to try to find a physical location that might be more convenient for these brethren to be able to meet. And yet what's become more apparent over the last year or two is that they just need somebody who can come in and work with them full time, who can be someone that can come in and feed them and help them to relieve the load that the men of that church are carrying. Men of that church do all of the teaching, they do all of the preaching, and they do it on a rotation basis. Those men are all working full time, sometimes six and a half days a week, and so our elders want to help this congregation out as much as we possibly can. And so that's a major part of Mission Sunday, is assisting our Spanish congregation. Also, if we're able to reach this particular level of $122,350, and I forgot to put the pictures up. I'm sorry about that. I thought I clicked the button and I didn't. Here's pictures of many of them. The bottom two are obviously where they are meeting inside of our building. But if we're able to reach that level, what the elders also want to do is to increase our digital footprint around this area, to increase the digital marketing that we're doing around this area, to make sure that people who live in this area know that we are here and know who we are. We've already been doing this. It's not something new, but the elders want to increase this and do this even more and make sure that electronically, digitally, on people's phones, on websites, that they are finding us, that there's an ease of finding us so that we are able to reach out to these individuals who live right here in this community even more so that they can find the truth. What if we're able to give $137,350? Something that we've done for the last couple of years is to be able to be a part of the Pacific Islands Bible College. That's what PIBC stands for, Pacific Islands Bible College. Robert Martin started this Bible college out in the Pacific Islands a little over 25 years ago. And most of us think of a school of preaching or a Bible college, and we think about students going from wherever they are to that college, and that college just stays where it is. But Robert Martin designed Pacific Islands Bible College to take the college to the students. So Robert goes to various places throughout the Pacific every year and goes and teaches these various courses. And so it's not just Robert who goes, but he takes various teachers with him. And so our part has been just to assist financially these teachers from getting here from the States out to Pacific to be able to teach Pacific Islands Bible College. And so that's a great endeavor. That has seen so many great fruits and rewards. The folks in the Pacific Islands, they are just like sponges. They are absorbing every possible thing that they can get. They're doing things in this Bible college that, honestly, we wouldn't do. Seriously. They are coming for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, every single night, for 2 or 3 or more hours, every single night for 3 weeks, sitting on benches that are not padded, sitting in places that are most likely, and most of them, not air-conditioned, and sitting there and learning the Bible. Think about how spoiled we are and how we look at, oh, I don't think I have time to do that. You know how often they work? They work 6, 7 days, but they're there every night learning the Bible, soaking it and absorbing it, and we get to be a small part of that by helping those teachers to get out there. What if we're able to reach $147,350? And somebody again might look at that and say, how in the world can you expect to reach that number? That's the highest that the top of this pyramid has been in the last few years. But the last few years, this congregation has just blown right through the pyramid. It's given even far above even what the elders have challenged us to do. What if we're able to give $147,350 next year? I mentioned this when we first put it on the screen. Our elders are committed to helping this Spanish congregation. They want this congregation to grow. They want it to become strong. They want it to thrive. Think about this question. What does Palm Beach County, 1.5 million people, what is there that Palm Beach County could use more than right now? What could this county use more than a strong, thriving Spanish Church of Christ? How many individuals in this county need the truth of the gospel in Spanish? The very thing this county needs is what our elders want to get behind. And to make sure that there is a strong, healthy, sound congregation that can reach out to those in this community who need the gospel in that language and to be a part of it. And so, twice on here, the elders have put assisting the Spanish congregation, and twice on here is the Palm Beach Lakes answering Macedonian calls, because there is a lot of work to do in both of those areas. It's not because the elders did not have other ideas to put there. I mentioned to you, they've got a list of things they want to be a part of, but these are two major works that need a lot of assistance to make them happen. And so our elders are committed to all of these things, trying to make sure every single one of them can be done as effectively as possibly can be done. And so, what happens if we give more than $147,350 next week? Then the elders have more for us to do, so that we can be multiplied in the hands of Jesus. Not because Mission Sunday is about us. May God help us to never have that mindset. But to know that Mission Sunday is about Him. It's about bringing what we have to Him. Giving what we have to Him. And asking Him to use it and to use us and to multiply our efforts. Amen. Let's bow and pray together. Our Holy Father, You have blessed us tremendously. We know it. And even those of us who are not as financially blessed as others in this room today, we know that when we look at how others live around this world, how abundantly blessed we are. But Father, this isn't about money. This is about souls. This is about people who need the gospel. This is about people who are walking a path in this life that is not going to lead them eternally where they need to be. And Father, we have the answer. We have the good news of Jesus. Father, we pray that You would give us boldness to take it to every single person that we can. Father, help us to not see Mission Sunday as the only way that we reach the lost. Help us to see that we each have a personal responsibility, not just with giving money on a Sunday, but with giving what we have in knowledge of the Bible to those who are around us. Help us when we leave this building today and tomorrow and every day this week to see lost souls around us and to seek opportunities to get the gospel into their lives. But Father, we pray that as we think about and as we prepare for Mission Sunday next week, we pray that You will help each of us to look within our hearts. Before we ever look within our wallets, help us to look within our hearts. Help us to measure our love for you. Help us to measure our thanksgiving for you. Help us to recognize everything that we have because of you. And Father, help us next week to bring honor and glory to you. Help us to bring to you what we have so that it can be multiplied in your hands, not for our glory, but for yours. Father, thank you for this congregation. Thank you for the heart of each member that has been demonstrated over these years, that is determined to reach lost souls around this world. Father, thank you for our elders. Thank you for their compassion for the lost, for their desire to do everything we can to save as many as we can. Father, we pray that you would bless us. We pray that you would use us. We pray that you would multiply us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know that this has been an extended period this morning, but I hope it has been profitable for us to think about how the Lord can use us and how the Lord can multiply us. And so as we close this lesson this morning, I want to ask you, have you put your life into the hands of Jesus? Have you ever given yourself to Him? It's one thing to put money in a basket and give money to the Lord, but that's nothing if you haven't given yourself to Him. Have you given your life to Him? You do that by believing that Jesus is the Son of God and allowing that faith to look at the sin in your life and say, I want to stop doing what's wrong. I want to start doing what's right. As Mike talked about this morning, to stop pulling against Him and to yield to Him, to submit to Him, to turn away from sin, to confess the faith that's in your heart. And in order to give your life to the Lord, you need to do what they did in the New Testament, and that is to be baptized into Christ. Every single person who wanted to be saved from their sins in the New Testament, they got baptized. Every single person who wanted to be a part of His church, they got baptized. Every single person who wanted to go to heaven, they got baptized. Because it was at that moment when they were immersed into Christ that they were made right with God. It was at that moment that they put their life into the hands of Jesus. If you've never been baptized for that reason, why don't you do it today? To be raised to walk a new life, faithfully serving the Lord. There's a fountain free that is absolutely free if you'll take it. If you'll give your life to Him today, why don't you do it right now as together we stand and sing.